He's holy, I'm sinful. So there's a big distance there. Actually, it's not easy to understand what does that mean, God is holy. So what is God, what do you mean God is holy? What does God's holiness mean? Another way to say it is absolute perfection. God is unlike any other. And his holiness is the essence of that otherness. He's very high. He's above all the quality. He's one of the kind. Right? In the Bible, you see when the angel worship God, they proclaim, holy, holy, holy. God's essence and quality is so perfect, so high. It's free from sin. It's a different kind. So God's holiness pervades his entire being and the shape all his attributes. So his love is a holy love. His mercy is holy mercy. Even his anger and wrath are holy anger. Because his essence, perfection, absolute of no defects in it. So the concepts are difficult for human to grasp. Just as God is difficult for us to understand in his entirety. It's very hard to know God comprehensively. But praise the Lord, we know God is all love, right? God loves you and me. God wants to reveal himself to you and me. Amen? Amen? We come here, we learn about him, we try to experience him. So it's okay, even though it's hard for me to explain to you. The holiness means high up, high quality, otherness, different from human being. That's why in Isaiah 55, God says, my ways higher than your way, my thoughts higher than your thought. You think about the highest level of human being, God is much higher than that. And that is holiness. So just now, in the scripture, we say God is holy. And then he wants us to be holy in all we do. And that means the sanctification. That's the title of today. You know, because in the Greek word and the Hebrew word, the same word to communicate the two meanings. One is holiness, refer to God himself. Sanctification means we need to be as holy as God. He is. That's a sanctification. So maybe you wonder, what does sanctification really mean? The generic meaning of sanctification is the state of proper functioning. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. That makes sense, right? This generic meaning of sanctification is that the thing had to be used as it is designed for. Like for glasses to help to see things clearly. Amen? So everything is designed original. What's the purpose he used for that? That's being sanctified. But in the theological sense, in spiritual sense, to sanctify means to be set apart for the purpose God intend. I think that's the thing. That's the thing I want to share with you today. I sense in the last few months, many of us come to the point of light, come to the crossroad. We need to make a decision. We need to make a very important decision. Maybe about housing, about marriage, about career, about future, many things. But before you make the decision, I want you to hear today's message very clearly. The sanctification is to set us apart from the world for God's design, for God's purpose, for your life. This is very important. It's not just free from sin. Oh, I sin, so Lord, forgive me. No, it's much deeper than that. Set apart. Can we say that? Set apart. Set apart unto the Lord, used by Lord. Once we are convinced about that, we start to apply that, our life will be very different. Amen? Life can be very boring, very busy and bored. Right? Can be very busy and bored. Life can have not busy, still bored. Life can everything go your way, still very bored. Because God created us for His purpose. There's a purpose in life. God designed for that. Sanctification means you return to that purpose in the process. It's not easy, right? As a Christian, it's a journey. That's why we have discipleship together, right? We learn together. It's not easy. Sometimes one behind, we help each other. That's a process. Perhaps you wonder, why do we need a sanctification? Then we need to go back to the history a little bit, to the human history. Look, let's start with the creation. According to God's creative design, He created a universe and human being perfect. So how do you know that? You go to the Genesis chapter 1. After God created certain things, He said, it is good. It is good. It is good. 5 times. And after God created Adam and Eve, God said, it was very good. How do you like that? So I ask you, how are you today?
Very good.
Very good. Excellent. Dear brother and sister, there's a power in our words, right? You start a day, people say, how are you today? Ay, domeya. Tough, very hard, difficult. You already say something to yourself, it will be a very difficult day. It will be a terrible day. No, you say, excellent. He is good. His law endures forever. So I will have a great day. It's very important. When God created everything in the beginning, He said, it was good. After He created Adam and Eve, it was excellent. Very good. But something happened, right? Because the fall. The fall referred to Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Such incident changed everything. Let's look at them one by one. First of all, the fall made man separate from God. The Bible doesn't say that, but you can read into it. I believe God takes a walk with Adam and Eve every day. And one day, somehow Adam and Eve cannot be seen. So God looking for them. Say, Adam, Eve, where are you? So how did they respond? They say, we hide ourselves. Why do you only hide? Because we were naked. So God started to ask them, how do you know you are naked? You must eat the forbidden trees, fruits. So that's the disobedience. They didn't obey God. So there's a consequence. Because that consequence, it affects everything. First of all, we see the fall affect relationship between God and man and woman, right? They had to hide themselves from God. What does that mean? As a believer, did you have the time you'd want to hide from God? When we like to hide from God, we have done something wrong, right? We feel shameful and guilty. We hide from God. So the fall affect the relationship between God and man. There's a separation, there's an isolation. It's very difficult. Also, we see the fall affect man and woman's relationship. I just want to ask you, when Adam saw Eve first time, what did he say? He didn't just say war, and then he say something after that. You know, whatever Adam say, give the hope to all the marriage. Adam say what? This is... Did God instruct him beforehand? That, by the way, Adam, okay, when I brought your better half out, you better say this. He just say that spontaneously, right? And the Bible says God wants to make a suitable helper for Adam. And he commented on that. But after the fall, when God started to check, how did you know? How did you know you're naked? And so what did Adam say? The woman, listen to this. The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree. And I ate it. So what Adam tried to imply? Actually, Adam blamed who? The woman you put here made me to eat it, and I ate it. That's why I know I'm naked. So I have no fault. It's your fault. Why did you create her? Do you see that the relationship changed? Start to blame. Isolate from God, so blame God. Also, Adam and Eve situation is not good either, because you think that when Adam already blamed Eve, how the family life after that? It's you. Every time, it's you. And then we see God's judgment on Eve. God say, I will make your pain in childbearing. Oh, it's difficult. You know, why it's so difficult to have a children? Childbearing, because from here, very severe, with painful labor, you'll give birth to children. And then after that, even more challenging. He said, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. There's a desire for your husband. If you read just here, you say, oh, that's pretty good. The wife was looking for husband, her desire for husband. No, that's not the meaning here. The desire here is your desire for your husband is your desire to control over your husband. It could be a competition. I really want to bring all the couple, or you'll be married soon or in the near future, to think about this. You say, where did this tension come from? From right here. The Eve has desire, no more is the desire, oh, this is my man. It's how can I control him? A lot of wives say, well, the reason I control because I love him. Look at, he's not organized. It's a mess. So I want to do this all for him. I agree. Maybe intention was that, but deep down, amen? What I try to say, the four affect the relationship between man and woman. It was original was a complementary, right? Eve supposed to be a suitable helper. Now it's a controller. Now, of course, Adam controlled Eve too. So the family, that's why I need a lot of family counseling, premarital counseling, marital counseling, a lot of counseling. I think Marlene is a very capable woman. She managed well. But many times I sense that tension right there. In the scripture as well. I have to say that. But I also learn to surrender to the Lord. It's not easy. But you see, my point is the four affect everything. Also, later on you say, wow, Pastor, why life so tough? You know, particularly in the Bay Area, right? The living cost is high, housing price high. It's right here. The fall of man, the nature, the earth, the ground curse, and life is hard for us. Here, God said to Adam, he say, because you listen to your wife, a fruit from the tree about which I command you, you must not eat from it. Curse is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it, and the days of your life. It will produce thorn thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust your end, to dust you will return. Everything, life will be difficult, will be challenging, and there will be a death wait for us. So this is, the fall really affect everything. Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our relationship with the nature. The nature doesn't work for us any longer. So it's very clear. It's so distorted. Also, human being no more can reflect God's image and likeness completely. Just barely in many ways. So we can see there's a necessity of sanctification. Because of fall, sin entered this world. Bible says all have sinned for short of the glory of God. Human being become as being distorted, dysfunctional, and broken. Our sin need to be forgiven. Our sinful nature need to be under control. Praise the Lord. It doesn't conclude here, right? God so loved the world. God loved us. God showed up. Jesus showed up. He died on the cross for us. He redeemed us. He buy us back. Amen? He buy us back from the bondage of sin and Satan and give us a new life out of his love. So we see sanctification is absolutely necessary because God created us originally for a certain purpose, but we fell and God saved us, redeemed us, and come back to that original purpose, be sanctified. As we accept Jesus into our life, our Savior and the Lord, our sin has been forgiven. In other words, we are justified before God. There's another big word called justification. You were wrong, now you are right in God's eyes. Our sin has been forgiven. So sanctification had to start with the redemption, right? Jesus redeemed us. He died for our sins. Our sin being forgiven. So we are justified before God today. You and me, we are justified before God. Then after that, it's a process of sanctification. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I always share that in the baptismal service. It's a wonderful promise. It says, if anyone, maybe you know, you can recite it with me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All has gone and the new has come. Amen? I think, dear brothers and sisters, we need to take this to our heart. This is not just one-time thing. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yes, positional-wise. Yes, that day you receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord. You're positional wise, you're a new creation. Yes, you're children of God already. But in the meantime, you're in the process of sanctification, right? Become Christ-like. Discipleship is a day in and day out. It's for lifelong. But this scripture, I encourage all of you to memorize. If anyone, including you, you put your name there. If Joseph Tien is in Christ, he is a new creation. All has gone. New has come. Every day, you experience that. Amen? I think it's very encouraging. No matter how many failure, no matter sometimes we feel so guilty and shameful, but that anyone is in Christ, that anyone can become you. You are in Christ. Then you are a new creation. You have that position. And then you start to go through the process of sanctification. So what are some practical guidelines for sanctification? The number one, offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. Okay, so there's a lot of words here, very big. I need to explain to you. So let's read together. How about the Romans chapter 12, verse 1? Therefore, I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Sometimes we hear the word of worship, we think about songs. You know, different churches have different worship songs. But the worship is more than singing songs, more than singing contemporary songs, more than very expressive jump and shout. Those are good, but worship is more than that. So what is worship? Worship is adore God. Look at God. Gazing at him. How many of you look at God this morning when you're worshiping? We look at Irene, we look at the worship leader, we look at Ricky play saxophone. We need to really, in our spiritual eyes, we start to look at God, reflect upon his attribute. When we worship God, we will be transformed. We will be changed. Amen? Dear brother and sister, if we continue to look at the problem, we will become like our problem. Amen? A person continue to look at money, only look at the profit he make. He will become like his money, profit. If we look at God, we become like God. So Pastor Joseph, I cannot see God. He is spirit. But you have a spirit, right? You already be redeemed. You're born again. You have spirit. You start to cultivate, develop your spiritual eyes through the word of God, through the words we will worship, you start to look at God himself, and God will glow unto you. And that's the worship. Another words about worship is consumed by God, consumed by something. Right? Right now we have a show about idol, right? Looking for American idol, British idol, Chinese idol, singing idol. What is worship? Worship is God becoming your idol. God is the focal point. You look at him, you gaze at him, you start to change. And that is worship. It's not just sing a few songs, play guitar. That's called worship time through the song. Dear brother and sister, I want to encourage you, the songs, the music is just a tool, lead us to the Lord. Amen? If the song distracts you from the Lord, then don't use that song. Some people worship the worship songs. You know that? You hear what I say? Somebody worship the worship song. Oh, this is so cool. 真过瘾. So good. I feel so good. No. Worship not just make you feel good. Worship is you encounter God. Amen? And then here, Apostle Paul say, actual worship is offer your body as a living sacrifice. The body here refer to the whole person as a living sacrifice. This is a paradoxical term. No such thing called living sacrifice. All the sacrifice is dead. When they become sacrifice, put on the altar, whether they're cattle or sheep or pigeon, they're all dead. They will slaughter, they shed the blood, and cut into pieces. But Apostle Paul say here, the living sacrifice about true worship is about our sanctification. We live for God. So as a sacrifice, we are dead to certain things. We are dead to ourselves. We are dead to the old self. We are dead to the worldly desires. We are dead to those negative things. We are dead. No appetite, no response. But living also, we are so alive toward God. Living sacrifice. In the Galatians chapter 2:20, Apostle Paul also shared this concept with another way. We can read that together about that. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is exactly the same concept about living sacrifice. The sacrifice is dead because I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. You say, have been, right? This already existed. Positional-wise, I already been crucified with Christ. But in reality, every day I had to deal with that old self, the sinful nature, every day. But he shared with us, the secret is here. He say, I live by faith. The life I live in the body. We all live our life in this body right now, right? You have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to pay the bill, pay the tax. You have feeling, everything. Right now, this is the key, dear brother and sister. This is the key. The life I live in the body right now, I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, I live for Jesus every day by my faith in him. Why I do that? The motivation is who loved me and gave himself for me. He laid down his life for me. The reason I live for Christ, because he loved for me. He loved me. How much he loved? He laid down his life for me. I think that's the motivation of the sanctification, the drive. Another practical guideline I want to share with you is to build our kingdom value system. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, the next two verses. Let's read together. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing, and perfect will. A lot of people... That's good enough. Thank you. A lot of people want to know God's will. Should I buy this house? Should I go to this city? Should I invest this? A lot of personal will there. Should I marry this person, etc.? Same many things. But I want to help you today is you really need to go through this sanctification process. Is you need to build out the kingdom value system. Apostle Paul tried to define what the living sacrifice is. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing mind. We need to build out the kingdom value system. I think that's very important. When you have the kingdom value system, you ask the Lord about many personal decisions, you have something to base upon. Amen? But otherwise, start to speak in Mandarin. Speak in tongue. Otherwise, you start to flow with, right? People say, oh, pro and con. You need to have some foundation. I want to illustrate it in a few concepts. First is about value. When you look at yourself, what is your value? Are you valuable? You know, when in the good time, when everything is good in your life, when there's no storm, it's easy for you. You think, I'm valuable, I have this, I have that, because the world value says your value contingent upon how much you possess, how much you have accomplished. In the good days, you say, yeah, I accomplished a lot, all this. But in the bad days, in the stormy days, it shakes you. Am I valuable? Am I worthy? If I'm valuable and worthy, why God allow all this to happen to me? So the world say your value and worth is what you have, you possess, you accomplish. What the kingdom value system say? What does the Bible say? What the kingdom value say? Why we are valuable? Yes, we were created in the image and likeness of God. This is so precious, dear brothers and sisters. The example, the concept I'm going to illustrate with you, you need to listen to this very carefully. If you know you're precious, you are valuable intrinsically, not contingent upon the accomplishment, the stage of your life, you are confident. Amen? You're on the solid ground. This is very important. Hear what I say, even though you feel so sleepy. But this is the important part. Got to listen to it. We all opened the window already. A lot of people say, oh, I don't have a confidence. You cannot have a confidence unless you know you're valuable and precious. Amen? Life changes. There's the good days and bad days, up and down all the time. But your value cannot change according to up and down. You're valuable because God deposits his divine character in you and in me. That's why men looking for eternal things. Men and women have sins looking for beautiful things. That's all in God. We have moral character. We know what is right and wrong. When we do something wrong, we feel bad. Amen? Secondly is identity. The world look at us, they give you identity according to your job, your function, your role, et cetera. I say, you know, you're a man, that's according to your gender. You're American, that's according to your citizenship. You're an engineer, that's according to your career. Your husband, your father, according to your role in family, in marriage. But that's not your ultimate identity. So may I ask you, I say this many times, in Mandarin and English, what is our ultimate identity as a believer? What's our identity? Children of God. Dear brother and sister, next time you answer, you should be very excited to say, child of God. Because this is not a slogan. It's real. So who is your daddy? God is our father, Abba Father forever. Of course, some people have difficult time with the earthly father that need a lot of healings, inner healing. But our Heavenly Father in the Bible, so if you have daddy in heaven who is all-powerful, who loves you, will he take care of you? So we can no more live like an orphan. Orphan has a spirit of fear, spirit of poverty, spirit of anxiety all the time because I don't know what's the next. Nobody cover me. Nobody take care of me. So that's very important. We know the kingdom value system, not conform to the worldly pattern, but transformed by the renewing mind. I am Heavenly Father's daughter and son, prince and princess. He will provide, and we need to experience that in our daily life. Amen? That's about identity. And then our mission of life. The world teaches you, motivates you, the mission you live for yourself, whatever. You live for yourself. You feel good, do it. But the kingdom value, our mission is what? Love God with all our being and love our neighbor as ourselves. That is live for eternity. How can you live for eternity? You have to live for something from the eternal God. That's the greatest thing, is to you invest your life to know God and make God known and love your neighbor as yourself. When you do that, your life is different. God will be with you. Another concept about giving and receiving, right? The world say, don't give, just receive. Accumulate more, you become rich, become richer. But the Bible say, the kingdom values say, it's more blessed to give than to receive. As a matter of fact, when you start to give out of the right heart, God will give you more. Amen? That's the motivation. Regarding laying down ourselves, deny ourselves, the world say, never lay down yourself. Assert yourself. Rule over other people. But Jesus say, whoever want to be my disciple must deny themselves, take out their cross, and follow me. And the next verse, even more important, for whoever want to save their life will lose it. But whoever lose their life for me will find it. I think this lay down self is not easy things. But we lay down self for Christ's sake. Not save my face. Not make me look good. For Christ's sake. And when Bible Jesus said, when you do that, you save life. You have a life. This earthly life and eternal life. I think this is particularly true to apply to our relationship with people. Amen? We all want to insist our own way. Amen? But think about this. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he had to lay down himself. Here is not just to lay down himself just for Christ only, but many times God wants us to apply to that relationship. Amen? It's not easy. I think in the family, we want a harmony. In the church, we want a harmony. We want a unity. But how can have a unity if everybody insists his on her own way? Amen? In the family, in every place. I just want to encourage you, you know, this sanctification is a journey. We're glad we are doing discipleship right now. We have a curriculum. We have a structure. We can go through this process together. Amen? We go through this process together. We encourage each other. It's a long journey, but the Lord is with us because that's his will. He will sanctify us. Our lives start to become more Christ-like to reflect his reality of glory. Abba, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we can worship you together with our brothers and sisters. Father, you are holy. You want us to be holy. That become holy, that process is sanctification. Father, I just pray that may your Spirit continue to speak to each one of us, that in our life we can start to practice in every realm we set apart for you, for your usage. We start to enjoy your presence in our life. We start to enjoy the success. Little obediently lead to little fruits, step by step. Start from the small things, medium things, large things, major decision. Holy Spirit, I just pray you invite us. You lead us. You grant us that desire. We're willing to offer our body, our whole life, as a living sacrifice. We're willing to build out a kingdom value system and live out that. We just pray your love will attract us. Your love will fill us. You will make us excited about you. We ask you to bless each brother and sister here in their journey. We can love each other, help each other to pursue Jesus, to become like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. conclude our worship here.